Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 48. Shri Manava Uchu Manava Vayam Taba Nideshakarino Dityena Deva Paributa Seva Se Tavaha. Babita kala sa upa samrita prabho. Karavama tekim anu sadi kinkaran. It's half the purport. Vayam we tava. Of your lordship, Nidesha Karina, the carriers of the orders, Diti Yena, by Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti, Deva, O Lord, Paributa, disregarded, Setava, whose laws of morality concerning the Vanashram system in human society. Bhavata, by your lordship. Kala, the most envious rascal. Saha, he. Upa Samrita, killed. Prabhu, O Lord, Karavama, shall we do? Te, your, Kim, what? Anusadi, please direct. King Karan, your eternal servants. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the Manus offer their prayers as follows. As your order carrier, O Lord, we the Manus are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. Purport. In many places in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord Krishna refers to the Varna and Ashram Dharma of the four Varnas and four Ashrams. He teaches people about this Varna Ashram Dharma so that all human society can live peacefully by observing the principles of the four social divisions and four spiritual divisions, Varna and Ashram. Let's make advancement in spiritual knowledge. The Manus compiled the Manu Samhita. The word Samhita means Vedic knowledge. And Manu indicates that this knowledge is given by Manu. The Manus are sometimes incarnations of the Supreme Lord, sometimes empowered living entities. Formerly, many years ago, Krishna instructed the Sun God. The Manus are generally sons of the Sun God. Therefore, while speaking to Arjuna, about the importance of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Imam Vishvate Yogam Praktivanaham Aviyam Vivishvan Manave Praha Manor Ishvakave Bravit. This instruction was given to Vivishvan, the sun god, who in turn instructed his son Manu. Manu gave the law known as Manu Samhita, which is full of directions based on Varna and Ashram, concerning how to live as a human being. These are very specific ways of life, but under the rule of demons like Hiranyakashipu, human society breaks all these systems of law and order and gradually becomes lower and lower. Thus, there is no peace in the world. The conclusion is that if we want real peace and order in human society, we must follow the principles laid down by the Manu Samhita and confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again. All the Manus offered their prayers as follows. As your order carriers, O Lord, we, the Manus, are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita Mudoyam Nabijanati Lokoyam Ajam Avyam. That Naham Prakasha Sarvasha, I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, for I'm unborn and inexhaustible. In other words, any conditioned soul is covered by illusion. An illusion, we actually imagine that there's no such thing as karma, there's no such thing as the laws of nature, there's no such thing as the three modes of material nature, God doesn't exist, we are so many things out of illusion we believe. But Krishna says these people, their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. As the boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away man's intelligence. So what to speak of the ordinary persons, they have no intelligence. It was taken away long ago. Therefore, Krishna says, Ukramantam sthitim vapi bunjanava ukramantam sthitim vapi bunjanava gunanvita vimudo nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. In other words, people don't realize what they're doing. They don't know that they're being controlled by the modes of nature. And especially in Kali Yuga, that control means that they're going down. They're not afraid of becoming an animal in their next lifetime. When one prophet was giving a lecture at one university, one student raised her hand and said, Swamiji, you say that if I'm going to become a dog in my next lifetime, if I act like a dog, but I want you to know, Swamiji, I don't mind if I become a dog. As a matter of fact, I want to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessings. People are not afraid. Therefore, if we look around, we can see there are so many species of life. Just like yesterday, there were a couple of mosquitoes in my room. I don't know why. It came, it's supposed to come in the summer. Guess it came late. But those are just two mosquitoes. But they're, you know, that's a lot of mosquitoes for our little temple. And what to speak of during the summer when thousands and thousands of ants came in. If we could have made them into devotees, we would have had a good Sankirtan movement. Those are just, there are trillions of ants. So where do they come from? They came from human beings who acted like they should become ants. You take too much intoxication, then you come back as an ant. Ants are always intoxicated. But people are not afraid. Therefore Krishna says, Neha bri karma na shosti pradyavano navidite Swapamapya Siddharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. On this path, there's no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. And the greatest danger is falling into the lower species of life. Now we're so impatient, we're thinking, I've been in the Hare Krishna movement for 10 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, why am I not a pure devotee? But become a mouse and wait for another 300 million years before you get a human form of life again. So if you're impatient now, why is it taking so long? Why is your wrist becoming a mouse and wasting another 300 million years? People don't know that the aim of life is to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, they waste their lives in meaningless, useless things. When Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he saw them. They were going on these boards and riding the waves. And they asked Prabhupada, "What is this?" They said, "They're surfers, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "No, they're sufferers." What is the value of riding a wave? What do you get for it at the end? Maybe you get a broken bone or something. What do you get?
Some thrill.
Thrill. Yeah, you can. That's why people jump. They bungee jumping. They go on. They tie their. They're on a rope on a building and they jump off the building. Some thrill. Their lives are so boring that that's a thrill to them. You see an old man playing what's called shuffleboard. You seen shuffleboard? What's that? Or checkers. I guess you know checkers. Checkers. Such an exciting game, checkers. And that would, that's what increases our heart rate. And if they're asked to, you know, do something like dancing, oh no, though, that's too much. That's sentimental. Playing checkers, which where is that? That's for real people. They play checkers. So under the spell of Moses' material nature, people don't know what their destination is, and nor do they care, because they're intoxicated by the spell of illusory energy. And they're actually thinking that something which is completely useless is actually supremely enjoyable. They can't live without it. They think that the person who loves them the most in this world is their little Fifi, the little dog. The dog is licking its behind, then it licks you, and they, oh, it loves me so much. They don't understand that if they act in a certain way, they're going to get a reaction for it. And the reaction generally is manifested if you act in the mode of goodness, you go deeper into the mode of goodness. And if you act in the mode of passion, you go deeper into the mode of passion. And if you act in the mode of ignorance, you go deeper into ignorance. There's no standing still, generally speaking. Whatever mode of act, of nature you're acting in, then you're going to go advance towards that mode. The more people act in ignorance, then the less opportunity they have to understand things as they actually are. Therefore, Krishna says, Yesham antakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva mohanirmukva bhujante mam dridavrataha. That those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this lifetime, and his sinful reactions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion. So people are acting sinfully, it's practically impossible for them to understand who they are, who God is. They can't understand reality at all. They become on the level of the dog. If you offer a dog a Bhagavad Gita, it'll sniff it to see if it's acceptable or not. And if it doesn't satisfy his sense of smell, he'll reject it. So similarly, people can't understand. They've lost their intelligence. They've lost their discrimination. They've lost their perspective on what the goal of life is. And therefore, they're not attracted at all. Therefore, the chanting Hare Krishna is given in this age so that people can gradually regain their intelligence. Otherwise, without the chanting Hare Krishna, no one's going to be able to understand what these books are about. Because vanashram is not very practical in this age, at least for now. As Krishna explains in Vanashram is a gradual way of advancing from ignorance to passion to goodness. And in goodness, one may be able to understand the value of pure devotional service. Therefore, it's very difficult for most people to take to Krishna consciousness because they don't have the preliminary qualifications. And what is a preliminary qualification? Simple. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. That they have to become free from hankering lamentation and see all living entities as spiritual beings, and then they can begin the process of real devotional service, pure devotional service. And Krishna spends the first, how many verses is that? 53 verses before he gets to Brahma Buddha in the 18th chapter. Because it's not so easy to give up hankering lamentation. Because he explains that there is activities and there are many varieties in the modes. There's the modes in knowledge, there's the modes in determination, there's modes in intelligence, there's modes in work, there's modes in the worker, there's modes in happiness. So many different modes. So to become to the mode of goodness in all these things is not so easy. But without becoming into the mode of goodness in these different varieties of fields, it's not possible to even give up hankering lamentation. What to speak of seeing everyone as a spiritual being? The modes of nature, if one is attached to some mode of material nature, it'll automatically take one's intelligence away. Not that it has to take our intelligence away, because it's already been taken away. But we can gain our intelligence back gradually through the process of chanting, which is practically in Varnashram in this age. Even to become a good Shudra, people have no qualification. Shudras means that one is submissive. In this age, if you say something, immediately people in their minds at least will challenge it. What's the proof? Why are you saying it? I don't believe it. Get a job. So people are not even qualified to become a Shudra. They resent being a servant. If you tell someone, would you like a job as a servant? They think, well, I'm not so degraded yet. I'm not so desperate. I'm not going to be a servant. If you tell a lady in her household, you're a housewife, they become insulted. They have to call her a domestic engineer. Then it has a fancy title and they can appreciate it. Because people the last thing they want to be identified with is a servant. They want to be the master. So that's a symptom of their illusion. The Brahmins, they're their topmost servants. And the Shudras, they want to become the masters. So the more one wants to become the master, the more one becomes degraded. And the more one wants to become a servant, the more one becomes elevated. Spiritual world is nothing but servants, service. Even the gopis sometimes, they seem to be controlling Krishna, but it's only to serve him. Similarly, Krishna he's the topmost servant of his devotees. Otherwise, why would he be directing our wanderings here? Trying to convince us to come back to Godhead. But in the meantime, fulfilling our desires. Because Krishna also has a service attitude. He's the supreme servant. He's a servant of the servant of his devotees. So by the gradual process of dutiful behavior, with the objective of trying to become a servant, because that's what dutiful means. Someone, as Prabhupada said, Sri Rupa Goswami said in the Nectar of Devotion, to come to Mangalarti. So if we come to Mangalarti, then we're serving the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. But if one reads the Nectar of Devotion and says, come to Mangalarti and say, who cares about you? Why should I? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm independent. The last thing I'm going to do is come to Mangalarti just to defy you, to show that I don't have to listen to you. So that's the attitude. But if one comes to Mangala Arati, then one is actually serving the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. And one will become benedicted. We have to serve someone, although we're imagining that we're the master. We serve in the Varna and Ashram system. It's a very slow process of purification. But if we serve Krishna directly, although we may not have all the qualifications to do so, but gradually by such service, we'll gradually will become qualified. Especially if our activities will help us offenselessly chant the holy name, then that's the most direct method of actually directly of getting Krishna's association and therefore reviving our relationship with him. But it depends upon our sincerity of chanting, and our sincerity will be manifested during the day by how much we're actually trying to serve Krishna in some way or another. Some services, of course, are more challenging and demand more, and therefore the benefit is more. And others are not so challenging, but still they're service to Krishna, and whatever service to Krishna we do will actually be beneficial for us and help us fix our mind upon Krishna and therefore develop our desires to obtain him. So we're not Manus, we're not born from the sun god, but we're descendants of Manus. That's Manu means mankind. And therefore, although we're born into Kali Yuga, etc., etc., still, if we utilize this valuable form of human life, then gradually we can escape the modes of ignorance and passion and understand things properly, and therefore not get deviated and go straight on the path to self-realization. The only thing is we have to take the process a little seriously. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Are there many manus?
Are there many what?
Manus, because it said manus uchuho.
Yeah, 14. I think it's 14 manus? 7 manus in one day of Brahma. 14 manus in one day of Brahma. 14.
But they exist simultaneously?
I guess the kids are called little manus. Well, as far as, I mean, they want manu at a time. So, but I don't know. Some people, friends of Manu. They got a free ticket. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.